I can't believe this hot air balloon still works, Jeremy.
We've had it for so long.
We had to go back to the North Pole to grab it, but sure enough, it still worked. The icy tundra kept it mummified.
Yeah, I don't think I trust it.
What do you think, Bill?
Guys, what's the weight limit on this thing? Do you have room for a third person even?
I don't know, Mike. Bill is a unit.
Look at that beard. His beard alone.
It's such a strong man.
You know what? The only way to find out is to just do it. So hop on in.
We can catch wind with this thing and get a little extra drag.
Oh, good call. Good call. We can use you to steer.
That's not nice, Mike. Just because he's built like a cow.
No, his beard.
Oh, shit. Oh, okay.
Talk about my beard, body shaming fuck.
All right, here we go. Ooh.
Man, I can't believe this thing even has any juice left in it.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's something that we don't have to worry about canonically, I guess. So let's just keep going up. All right, so, Jeremy, check that compartment there.
Yep.
It's got the bomb gardener suits. It happens to have three, I believe. One for a heavier set gentleman. That's free. That one's for you, Jeremy.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So put
like
about
fat, like Brian Baumgartner, fat.
Yes, very, very fat.
With a pH, Bill. Now put on your suits.
Are you sure I'm supposed to have all this extra material, Mike?
Jeremy, check the comms. Check the comms. Can everyone hear me? Nope. Loud and clear. So at this point, you guys, since we're now entering the stratosphere and we can see how beautifully flat and beautiful our Earth is from way up here, we're gonna jump out. And if we jump out at a 15 degree angle towards that section of the planet, we should be able to land directly in Liverpool, where the podcast we're stealing is being held.
Say no more, Mike. Here I go.
Jimmy.
Wait for me. Here I go.
Okay, well, I guess I'll give them their parachutes on my way down.
Bill, are you with me?
Yeah. How do we slow down? How are we supposed to land?
I'm pretty sure we just spread our arms. Do we have wingsuits? No? Not wingsuits.
No.
Guys!
Oh, it's about time you got here, Mike.
I have your parachutes!
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
I thought we were pretty light when we jumped out.
Spread eagle your body to slow the descent! Now unzip your flaps, so let your wiener out, and then it'll also help.
Is that supposed to reduce drag?
Yes. It'll increase the drag. Anything helps, Jeremy. We're running out of time.
Oh, it really helps when you're not circumcised. This is great.
Jeremy understands. He's also not circumcised.
It's like an extra parachute, Mike.
Okay, here. Bill, this one's for you. Put it on.
Got it.
Jeremy.
You're too far away, Mike. I don't think we're going to be able to reach each other.
Jeremy, I'm going to hit my... I'm sorry, buddy. I love you.
Here, grab my beard.
Oh, beautiful. Okay. Oh, wow.
Jeremy, look at all the castles. I told you there's a ton.
I mean, are they really castles, though?
They're all... Look at how many of them are.
All right.
Look, that castle looks like a bodega.
A bodega?
Yeah.
Is that like an Italian bidet?
Yeah, or like a bodega?
Bidet.
Like a convenience store in New York.
What differentiates an Italian bidet as opposed to a normal bidet?
It sucks
like
water
no,
out.
Dago?
Dago?
Well, anyway, you guys, I think that's the River Mercy. We should be able to land on its shores.
We landed.
We did it.
Safe
and sound. Wow, Bill's beard got longer.
Yeah, it's, it'll shrink in the water.
All right, you guys, that little island over there, that's where they hold their podcast. And my records show that right now, they're eating haggis in a bodega nearby. Well, anyway, there's a little canoe here. We're gonna take that to the island. And we're there now. It was a couple feet away.
We could have swam here, Mike.
Well, we technically just could have waded through. But anyway, we're here. There's their podcast.
I think we should have Bill get it.
Bill, check for booby traps.
I don't see anything.
Oh, God! Oh, no!
Oh, the horror!
Oh, Jesus! They had a shark?
Oh, I just stepped on a mouse trap. I didn't see a shark.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, thank God. I screamed like there was a shark attack.
I guess I'm just dramatic. Sorry, guys.
It could have been a spider attack, per Jeremy.
Mike, it looks like they ran away because they were so scared of the shark attack mousetrap.
The podcast?
They've abandoned their podcast on this island.
Well, all that's left to do it is to do it, which is, I guess, the main theme of the show.
Well, cheers, boys. We cheers. Did it.
Yep, let's have fun.
Hell yeah.
Trying to find a reason why I think it has to be this way. Others say
Michael and Jeremy Steal Your Podcast. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Mike.
How are you today?
I'm doing pretty damn good, dude. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. We're stealing the Pod Knots podcast, which is a few different types of podcasts all rolled into one. Sometimes they do coffee table shows that are a little less than 20 minutes. Sometimes they have in-depth. It's like the podcast you would enjoy while sipping some coffee or having diarrhea on the toilet.
Oh, I thought they talked about coffee tables.
No, they don't. Maybe they do. Who knows? You'll have to check them out. Pod Knots podcast. The Pod Knots. A bunch of dudes chilling out and talking to people sometimes, and those people are interesting. So
I was thinking about building a coffee table.
Really? Out of what?
Wood.
Oh, okay. Not human bones.
Out of plastic bottles.
Recycle. That's the new fad right now, is to take recycled things and make new things out of them.
No, I think we're on the flip side of that. I think we're back to throwing plastic bottles out of windows on the highway.
You think so?
I've been doing it.
Oh. You set the precedent.
I thought we're back. The 90s culture isn't back.
I'm just resuming what I remember. Well, anyway, we have our own interesting person here, Bill Rhodes. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Bill Rhodes, you're an up-and-coming comedian who's carving your way through this crazy world we live in. Tell us more.
So I did comedy a long time ago, back in, 2009 through 2011, and became a single dad, you know, with custody of my kids, so I gave it up, and this worked. You know, I was a teacher and a football coach for a long time. And recently picked comedy up again, and it's actually been going pretty well for me.
Nice, nice. I'm glad. You got to do what you like. You got to do what what makes you happy. You don't have enough time to just dilly-dally and not pursue things.
I've actually heard of you, Bill. Mike told me you were going to be on the show, and I saw your set about a month ago on Kill Tony.
Yeah, you did, and so did my human resources person at the school district I worked for. It was awesome.
Do we just want to dive right into that?
Well, yeah. What do you mean by that?
So I had not really heard much about Kill Tony because, you know, I was pretty new into getting back into comedy. And a buddy of mine convinced me to come sign up a couple times. And the second time that I went to sign up, my name actually got pulled. And so I thought it was a pretty funny set. It was one of my favorite little jokes. I worked with inmates, you know, in the prison system before I was a teacher. And so I compared inmates and students and had a a punchline basically saying, if you want to get fired from either job, you either have to fight one of them or fuck one of them. I wasn't like condoning fucking students and inmates. It's just kind of the irony of how shorthanded everyone is that they can't fire anyone. And some bitch named Amy in Human Resources heard this and she challenged my theory. And
she did, didn't
technically,
she?
Yeah, she did. Technically, I didn't get fired. I'm on administrative leave for the rest of the year. I'm still getting paid, so I'm not unemployed. I'm just not going to work.
Ah, your statement still stands.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
The loophole.
Yep. Fucking Amy.
Yeah.
What a cut.
Yeah, see, she didn't like that either. I called her either a bitch or a cunt on a stage at Wise Guys in Salt Lake City and posted it. And that was their final decision to go ahead and let me stay home with pay. It was in everyone's best interest.
Well, Kim, listen, it might have been a one-off thing. Maybe he's learned his lesson.
Amy.
Amy, whatever.
Tiffany, listen up.
Stephanie, listen, it's never going to happen again. Stephanie, you're a bitch.
She doesn't Tina. Sound like she's very fun.
No.
No.
Because
I love that joke. I love that joke because it's it's the misdirection. So if you want to get fired and you throw in the fight him, of course, you get the fight. And then fuck him, middle school. It's great. It's a great joke. It made me laugh. I texted it back to Mike last night. I rewatched your set last night. I was like, ah, it's a good joke.
She's probably upset because none of the students want to fuck her.
Right?
Well, and I threw in at the very end. Even then, I feel like they would just transfer you to a different facility. Like,
yep.
You know, hide the problem.
Oh, like they do with doctors. They just send them to different hospitals.
Or priests.
I just got done binge-watching Dr. Death.
So fucking bitch Amy put in some stuff. So now what are you doing? Now what are you up to?
It's kind of cool. My wife works from home, and she's the breadwinner in the house. Well, she's Mexican. She's the tortilla winner in our house. Beautiful. And yeah, if you want to, I mean, honestly, dude, I was a teacher. She could have been a fucking shift lead at McDonald's and still been the breadwinner. But she's been trying to talk me out of teaching for 3 or 4 years now. I just haven't been happy doing it. So she was like, why don't you go deliver pizza or something and then hang out with me whenever you get off or hang out here during the day or whatever. And now that comedy's an option, she can travel with her job. So we've been traveling. Like, we've hit Salt Lake City. We've been to Florida, a couple spots in Florida, Arizona, and all that. And so I'm getting to kind of spread myself thin and get my name out there.
Hell yeah.
Getting paid by the school district to do it.
Where'd you, what clubs did you hit up in Florida, if you don't mind me asking?
I was just in the Fort Lauderdale area. So I got with Nick Nimchek, I think is his name.
Okay.
Pretty cool guy. He just kind of jumped me around to a lot of the open mics and introduced me to people while I was there. And, like I hit Bow Campers, a barbecue place in Pompano Beach, and I forget the third place.
What's the name of that chick again?
What chick?
The chick that the school board.
Amy.
Oh, Amy.
Oh, the cunt Amy.
Yeah. So he shows up. He's like, "Have you met my wife, Amy?" And you're just like, "Oh, no."
Plot twist. Dun dun dun. I always say this quite a bit because a lot of people think that Kill Tony is like the freaking, like, that's what makes you famous, and it really doesn't. Like, it'll give you a nice little jump, you know, for comedy. But I know some people. I have a really good friend who's made it on there 3 times, and he was absolutely hilarious all 3 times. But he doesn't market himself. He doesn't go out and, you know, you use that experience to try to boost himself forward with anything. And so I always tell people, if you market yourself and treat yourself like, you know, you're a comic, you know, call people, try to book yourself. That's how you get your name out there. It's not just Kill Tony.
You can't wait. You just can't wait around for shit to happen. Like, it's not like people are just going to start contacting you.
Yeah, no, it doesn't happen at all. And then I've got a buddy who's one of the funniest comics that I know in the Austin area. He's signed up easily 100 times over the last few years, and he's never gotten his name pulled.
Luck of the draw. The universe at work.
Yeah, so
God's probably like, don't do it. Don't go on that stage. I'm helping you.
Work in retail.
You're going to get fired and lose your house. We can't all have rich wives.
Oh, yeah. There you go. So, well, sometimes that shit needs to happen. Because, you know, if people are always looking for the easy way, because just, you know, you work on your own stuff. Whoever you are, person, friend of Bill's, let me give you some advice. Just be funny, right? Just be funny with your words, and then people will be more likely to listen and laugh. That's the best advice I can give.
And I'll give, he's hilarious. I've heard some 10s and 20 minute sets from him, and they're great. He just hasn't been pulled, and so he's been a little discouraged because of it, but I'm like, dude, he's probably had 10 times more paid gigs than I've had. He's made a lot more money than I have so far, but he's been in this for like 7 or 8 years. And you know, I don't know. It's just that discourage of not getting pulled whenever you see, especially with, like, you know, when you watch the show and you'll see people, oh, this is my first time to ever do comedy. And you've got like 200 comics that are standing in line outside. They're like, you know, fuck this guy.
Especially when they do really well.
Yeah.
Just goes up and crushes.
Everyone loves an underdog.
I've done comedy 3 times. I am the new regular. All right.
Yeah. I feel like some of the regulars are that way.
You just got to sign up, but it's not the be-all, end-all. It's getting into the clubs. It's getting a relationship with the club owners. And like you're doing is spread yourself out. Find your crowd, too, and where you can really work your stuff out. Who's coming over and laughing the most? Go there. Keep going over there. Hone your skills.
Yeah. Well, and when you sign up and you're waiting, because so you go to this little bar that's catty corner across the street from the comedy mothership called Four Choices, and there's not enough room inside for everyone. So like you've got maybe 50 people inside in the bar, and then that entire corner on the sidewalk is just packed full of comics standing around. You know, hiding their beers that they smuggled in, smoking pot, and you know, just networking, having a good time. I've made more connections, just marketing myself and networking to the people that are out there waiting. And so that's to me the real opportunity as a comic at Kill Tony isn't even getting in, because your chances are so rare. It's the opportunity to go and network and meet potentially 100 new comics every time you go.
It's a good way to look at it.
Collaboration is key.
Yeah, like doing, you know, stealing podcasts and doing other podcasts with other people.
Well, yeah.
it's built-in marketing.
It's great when they actually show up to do it. So what is your main goal? Like, where do you see this going? I mean, what's the ultimate goal overall? I mean, are you looking to, you know, is Netflix special on your mind? Is it just having maybe a normal a place that books you once a week that you can make some decent money at while you're doing it? Are you doing it for the joy of doing it, and you don't care if you get paid? Like, what's the ultimate end game here?
Right now it's baby steps. I want to become a reliable opener. You know, just I want people to want me to come out and do, you know, 10 minutes, maybe feature for 20. And I know that I'm not ready to just go out and headline across the country. I know that I'm not ready for a Netflix special or anything like that. So I'm just taking it in baby steps, writing good stuff, getting in front of people. I've recently reached out and connected with, do y'all know who Celia Contreras is?
Yes. No.
So yeah. So Celia, she had a great, great opportunity on Kill Tony.
Yes.
An episode with Roseanne Barr, and I think David Ketchner was the other person on there.
Yep.
She was really, really funny. She's a very endearing, humble person. And Tony immediately reached out and gave her some opening spots in Arizona to go and open for him. And then Roseanne offered, I think it was like 5 or 7 mic spots to go and open up for Celia to open for Roseanne in Florida. And so she just became an instant hit. Well, Celia is one of these, like, just like beautiful, like sincere, nice people who pays it forward, you know, to other people who are also nice and, you know, just trying to get in the scene. I have her. I'm actually producing a comedy show tonight that she's headlining at, and she's going to take me up to Oklahoma, and I'm going to open for her for her gigs that she has in Oklahoma.
Hell yeah. Oh,
man, I love that.
That's huge.
I was that was a really inspiring moment. Celia set. I remember I watched it over and over again. It was just so pumped for her. She did so well, and then she got to open for Roseanne. I think Red Band gave her the secret show spot secret too. Show, after yeah. all that.
that's my goal from Kill Tony, like with Kill Tony too. I'd love to get on the secret show. That's one of the baby steps into getting into the comedy mothership. You know, as a door person, is going through the secret show. So Red Band kind of has the kind of like the D League over there. You know, the developmental guys, and you know, once you get a good solid spot over at what's it called, the Sunset Strip, where the secret show's at, then you kind of get to work your way over to the comedy mothership.
I mean, everyone knows where the secret show is. It's not very secret, I guess.
Yeah,
Jeremy, don't. Jeremy, don't hit the button. Jeremy. All righty. I'll lay in my bed. That's fine.
Wow, Mike.
I'm on my way to Kill Tony right now. What a great joke. I got to try it out. I'm going to put my name in the hat. I'm straight to the top.
You'd be one of the people who got pulled their first time.
Hey, everybody. Why do they call it the secret show when everyone knows where it is?
And then you just stand there and wait for applause.
You're all just talking about it.
Do you know Nick Machick?
I don't.
Okay, that's the guy's name. N-I-K, Nick Machick. He's he kind of runs everything in that Fort Lauderdale area. And that guy is one of the best hosts that I've ever worked with. Cool guy, good at, you know, networking people, getting people together. He's coming to Dallas, and he's headlining at Dallas Comedy Club. Asked me to feature for him, and then, you know, he wants me to find, you know, one of my people to open and just find a local person over there to host. So that's kind of it's running into people like that. Celia, Nick, even David Jolly. David Jolly's a great person who gives people opportunities.
And Candy.
No.
And Candy.
No. Want a Twizzlers?
No, you're more likely to get a blunt job from him than a piece of candy.
Gang violence.
Yeah, gang violence.
Gang violence, dude. He came from Orlando.
Oh.
Yeah, he's a Florida guy. He and Cam Patterson both. But it's cool, like, sifting through the bullshit, you know, of people who are, I hate using the word gatekeeping because they use that a lot, but you've got a lot of these guys who have their own little, like, their own crews where they're like circle jerking each other and, you know, hosting each other's comedy shows and all that. Like there's no growth in that.
A closed system.
Yeah. And, but you've got people like Celia, like David Jolly, Nick Machick, people like that who are willing to work with people who are willing to work. And I think that's kind of the important part of comedy is being able to find those people who are, you know, just good, honest people and not trying to, like find their own clout in hosting things and controlling open mics and stuff like that. Like there's no clout in that because you're not growing from it.
We have the same kind of way of thinking here at our show. We just like it when people make things, when people are doing things, applying themselves and following their passions. That's one of the reasons why we try and book people on our show. You know, we're not trying to gain listeners, you know, even though it does happen. But like for me and Jeremy, we like talking to people that we want to talk to, like just me and him.
Big or small.
Yeah, big or small. It doesn't matter. We had a streamer. He had 11 subscribers.
We turned his channel around.
Yeah, we did.
Nice.
Yeah,
he's got 37 now.
Yeah, we gave him some tips. Yeah, I think he's gotten a super chatter too in the last year.
Yep. He's not streaming porn anymore. He wasn't doing that.
Oh. He still jacks off looking at himself in the mirror, though.
Oh, I'm sure he does. I wonder if he finished his studio like he said he was going to do.
Probably not. But shout out to that guy.
Jesus.
Congratulations, that guy.
Florida Rampage.
Yep.
That's what
Rampage Jackson.
Good job, champ.
Way to go, stud.
So, for the whole Kill Tony thing, walk me through kind of like you've kind of gone to bits and pieces. So you show up, you're waiting outside in the throes of people. Is there a PA system that's blaring outside for everyone to hear the sets that are going on inside? Or if your name gets called, are they doing announcements over a system?
Actually, can I walk you through what a whole Monday looks like in downtown Austin?
Yes.
Yeah, please do.
So you show up at about 5:30. And you sign up for open mic at the Comedy Mothership. So Joe Rogan in the small, in the, what's it, the little boy room, this small room, there's an open mic, and they pull, I think, 20 names for that. If you get on, you get to go in. They have a Kill Tony sign up in there, you know, for you to be able to sign up. If not, you go Patty Corner across the street to a little bar called Poor Choices, which very, very aptly named. You get in line. There's 200 people in line. You go through. You show Christy. She's one of the producers. Show your ID to make sure you're the right person.
Show your dick.
You know,
She says no.
it's usually a no. I don't think she's into those. But
show your clit.
That's a whole other story. And my clit looks like bat wings. She'll check your ID. You sign up, and then your name gets thrown in a bucket. That starts at 6:30. Wow. You don't have to be back until 8 or 8:15 whenever they start pulling names. So a lot of people go over to a place called The Creek in the Cave, and they sign up for Gamble Mike, which is another, I think it's a bucket pull. They pull your name, they roll a die, and you get anywhere from 1 to 6 minutes for the open mic. And then they shut it down at 8 because they know everybody's going over to Kill Tony. And so you just go hang out around the bar. They have a runner that comes back and forth. So they'll pull a name. And they'll give it to Colt. Colt comes over, and they'll shut down the DJ, and they'll call out a name. Colt runs you across the street, and then you go back in this little, like in this little hallway, and you just wait behind the curtain for them to tell you when to go up.
So if I'm following correctly, like if a comic goes out there, they're there at like 5 or so, and they're signing up for multiple shows to try and get in to increase the odds that they're going to do a set.
The goal is the either the Comedy Mothership open mic or Kill Tony, but like the Creek in the Cave is like a 4 minute walk away, so
yeah,
you know, people hit that one up too just to try and get some time. I want to say there's probably 100 to 120 people that sign up for the open mic. The problem with that one is sign up start at 5:30, and so you have a lot of people who have daytime jobs who, you know, they can't get to downtown Austin by 5:30 to 6 to sign up, but. Kill Tony, I mean, I've had some nights where it looks like there's 90 to 100 people, and then I've had some nights where it looks like over 200 people.
Oh, wow.
Damn. So. And so you've gone through this procedure, and then all of a sudden, your name is called. The runner comes out, calls your name, and scoops you back to behind the curtain, right?
Are people, like, high-fiving you? They're like, oh, we got called, it's Bill. Is there people hyping you up?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. You know, I had some buddies who were, you know, recording me as I'm running across the street. I had a couple running with me and all that.
Did your dick go inside your body? Like,
it stays there. I have what you call an innie.
An innie.
So my night was actually right before the New Year's Eve shows. I know it wasn't televised until after, but. They had these back-to-back nights on Monday and Tuesday where they had two shows each night. And so on Monday night, they started early. It was like at 7, and then the second show started at 10 o'clock at night. I actually got pulled. No, I'm sorry. I'm totally lying to you. The first one started at 6.
How dare you?
The second one started at 8. And I got pulled on the second show. And so like the first show, sitting and waiting and nothing happens. I had like a drink or two while I'm out there. And then when the second show goes, that's the Kirk Fox episode. I kind of didn't want to get pulled because everyone that went on the episode, I don't know if you saw the episode where it was the regulars on the stage. It was William Montgomery, Hans Kim, and Cam. Tony was kind of in like a bitchy mood. Like he wasn't very happy for that episode. And so a couple, like the very first guy that was on there, Tony Cruz, the guy that they did the Super Mario noises for.
Yeah.
He, like, when he told me about that whole thing, I was like, shit, like, this is not the night you want to get on. And now, you know, there's two shows. Well, at the end of the second show, somebody else comes in there like, all right, that's it for bucket pulls. They're done. No more. I was like, well, shit. So I was like, give me two shots of Patron and a margarita. Down two shots and I'm sipping on my margarita. I had my Uber lined up to come pick me up, and then Colt runs back and he's like, we've got one more pull. It's Bill Rhodes. And I was like, fuck. And so he runs me across the street and I'm standing in that back little hallway. My heart's pumping 100 miles an hour, but it's just like jacking tequila through my system. And I was pretty drunk when I went on. I think the only thing that kept me from going through a little panic attack was William Montgomery was in the hallway because, you know, he goes on at the very end. And he just kind of bullshitted with me for a little bit and calmed me down. And So I got to go on stage, and it's fun. Like, it's the coolest experience. Super high. After I came out, it was cool because you kind of get treated like a rock star when you come out, with everyone asking how it was, who was the guest, what was going on.
Your Uber driver started screaming at you.
No, I actually got a bad rating for that one because I was a no-show for my Uber. But and so I had to do a Lyft home that night instead. And yeah, it was just fun. There's a dude called, I can't remember his name, but he runs a thing called Killshot TV. Where he just interviews the people that go on the show. And so, like, I had my little interview for that, and he's interviewed me a few times based on my teaching story.
I saw that. Yeah. I saw the interview with the Apple headset microphone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, where I'm, like, screaming into it.
And you're like, I'm probably going to get fired, but it's fine.
Yeah, I was slobbering drunk, dude. But it was fun.
Hell yeah. That's what it's about, man.
Hey everybody, it's Future Michael here. Just want to tell you about our band of the week. It's Harlow Rain. HARLOWREIGN. Oh yeah, doing great stuff. Check out their single, which we featured today, which is Forbidden Forever. Their new single. The first one. It's the first song they got. Oh, they're going to do great stuff. Everybody, check them out. Follow them. Pumping out great, amazing things. Oh, yeah. And we're brought to you by Dungeon Studios, makers of 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons modules. Go to their website, dungeonstudios.co, to pick up one of their amazing modules today and check out one of their new podcasts, Fables from the Forgotten, which is streaming. It's there for you to enjoy. It's an audio drama, and I helped make it, so fucking go there and listen to it, you bitches. All right, bye.
One of the funny things I noticed was on that episode, episode 644, if you read through the comments, people are predicting you're firing.
Yeah.
In the comments. They're like, this dude's...
Well, he's done so.
Say, in about a month or two, he's going to go full-time comedy because he definitely just lost his job.
Yeah. Some of my favorite comments on there, though, dude, somebody said that I look like Mark Henry doing whiteface. I thought was great. And then, someone said I look like I throw barrels at Super Mario, that I should challenge William Montgomery to the title of Vanilla Gorilla. I was like, that's cool. That's funny shit.
But that is funny shit.
My wife was, she's like, don't read the comments. Don't read the comments. I'm like, I don't fucking care. We do roast battles and stuff. You know, there's nothing Reddit can fucking say to me that I haven't been, I haven't had students yell at me. So we're good.
She's like, no, don't read them. They say you are so handsome. There's no reason to read them.
Loving father and husband.
It's been pretty cool. I get noticed here and there, when I go to places. I've actually had a whole, not just a bar tab, but like a restaurant and bar tab comped.
Hell yeah.
Because the bar manager knew who I was, and so I just talked comedy with him for a little while and let him ruin my little private drinking time.
You know what? These crab cakes on the house.
He's like, what? I also fuck kids.
Thank you for spreading light on this new sexuality that I'm trying to get pushed into the conclave.
It's not right so that they fired you. Some of these kids want to be fucked. It's not.
They were asking for it.
Did you see what she was wearing at PE, dude?
I think the worst situation, or the most awkward situation, I wouldn't say worst because I had fun with it, is when I got called into the human resources office.
Tell us.
We sat down. We sat down and we watched my entire set.
Oh, it's awesome.
And I was kind of an asshole about it at first. I was like, I mean, we don't have to do this. This is mine. Like, I've watched this 100 times. If y'all don't remember, let's go for it.
You've seen it. I lived it. What are you gonna do? So,
When you were watching it, were you like hitting him with your elbow? Like, that's a good pretty one, right? Good joke. That was pretty good.
I was at one point. I was like, dude, can we get some like popcorn or something while we're in here? Because we're in a conference room with like one of those big screens, like a great big TV in the room. And every time they had something questionable, they would pause it. So what did you mean by this? Nothing. It's comedy. Like, I'm putting on a show.
Tis a joke.
Yeah. Well, so jokes. why did you say this? Because I was trying to make the people laugh in the audience. Well, what about this? Like, I was like, have you ever been to a comedy show? And so the Amy bitch that I don't like, and I expected to get fired. Like, I wasn't bitter about that, but she, at one point she said, so you said you don't care. You hope you get fired. Like, you're trying to get fired. So tell me, when you're trying to get fired, are you trying to fight students or fuck students?
Oh, God, what a cunt.
And so I was like, so that's a little bit of gaslighting, reaching, projecting. I don't know what you want to call it, but I was like, that's kind of dumb. That's like asking me, have you ever tried sugar or cocaine? Like, yes, I have. Oh, so you've tried cocaine? No, I've tried sugar, but you said yes to the question. Like, she's just a baiting bitch. So for a few weeks, I was actually going back to work. I was in the human resources office. So I did get shipped to another facility. I was working in the human resources office, just doing like lesson planning, making content for my
planning on how to fuck these kids.
Yeah, it's like, so the lights are off in this stall, and I was just doing what I do all the time, like, you know, creating lesson plans. I was a history teacher, so all right, we're going to talk about the Civil War, so I'm going to create all these assignments, and I just
today put it online. Kids, we're going to talk about the Spartan military.
In college, I failed American history 3 times, and the joke I always made is, it doesn't fucking change.
Neither did your answers each time, evidently.
Yep.
C for everything.
When Louis Armstrong landed on the moon. That's a joke. It was Lance Armstrong.
It makes me think of old Greg.
No, we just started thinking about old Greg. Yeah. All I do is win, no matter what.
There you go, Jeremy.
I don't know. I had no place to put that button that I wanted.
You just wanted to use it. You were just itching.
It's my new
you
button.
You were just waiting.
So can I ask you guys a question?
Oh, please.
So how is the comedy scene in your part of Florida where you're at?
Orlando's pretty good. We got some pretty established comedy clubs like SAC. I think that's more of improv troops, actually.
Are you giggling because he said sack?
That, and I was thinking about the comedy scene. Like, it's different. Orlando's good. Like Mike said, Orlando's good. Tampa's good. Side Splitters is a great club. But then when you get down to like Miami and stuff, and I love Miami. I love the people out there. They're having a good time all the time. But you better be like, and then my mijo stepped into the quesadilla. Like, you really need that kind of Latin humor down there. But no, Orlando's good. Tampa, I think Tampa's a good place for people to stop by and figure some stuff out.
There's a club in downtown Melbourne that's right by me, and I haven't been there. I should make a plan to do that.
I think it's mostly open micers.
Well, that's great, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I've learned, like, Austin right now, it's the mecca for comedy, right? I mean, everyone wants to end up in New York or L.A., but everybody that's getting started wants to come into Austin because you've got Rogan and Kill Tony and all that. Like, that's the Kickstarter place where everyone wants to go.
We had a conversation with comedian Ben Brainerd. I don't know if you know who that is. He went over to Cali, but he started here in Orlando area. So he started off doing comedy, and he started making TikToks. He's got that whole, you know, he pretends to be all the different states sitting at a table, right? And, like, Florida's got the floppy hat, and it's like the government's talking to all the states, and he plays all the different states in, like, person form. And he was talking about Austin, and he was like, there's classes, like, so, like, Chicago and Austin would be, like, a B-class place, and then you got your A-class, which is L.A. and New York.
Yeah, for sure. The difference, though, I guess with Austin and Chicago, that's a great example, Austin is saturated. Like, there are homeless people running open mics in Austin now at this point. Like, I could go through my Instagram and probably tell you 10 comics that I know of that left other states and are living in their car in Austin.
Well, homeless people aren't funny.
I want to see that show. Like, now I'm coming up to the states. I don't know. Fucking.
Aliens.
Oh,
some big white guy is bald, is talking about fucking kids. Here you go.
It's funny you say that. We've got one of those. He stands in line for, he doesn't sign up for Kill Tony. He signs up for the mothership all the time. And he, you know, he's always giving people his knowledge. He's a little bit older, but he'll have other people, like homeless people, walk up and they're like, hey, can you give me a cigarette? And he'll look and you go, hold on a second. This bitch is being disrespectful. Like, he's like, you know, the code of the road, you know, like fucking going off on these homeless people. And so, and that's the other fun part about Austin is, there's homeless people everywhere while you're waiting, like coming up and they're like, man, you got a dollar, you got a dollar. Yeah. I'm like, bitch, you're in a group of like poor ass comics.
Do you have a dollar? Every, I would love a dollar. Do you have one for me?
It's homeless people trying to get money off of borderline homeless people.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah.
And my answer is always the same. I'm like, I can't be trusted with money. So,
bitch, I'm going to be you in 2 weeks. I'm going to be you in 2 weeks.
My wife's safety pins a 20 on my shirt as I walk out the door. That's all. We do have, we've got one comic. We've got one homeless lady. She's got some really nice tits. Like,
oh.
I think they're fake. And, maybe she was a stripper or something and, you know, paid for, her work enhancements and she just fell on hard times. But, she wears a diaper too on top of that. So that's the anchovies on the pizza there that kind of throws it off.
Where does she wear the diaper?
No, it's
around
like,
her knee.
She's wearing an adult. Most of the time, it's just a sports bra and an adult diaper.
You like my vest?
Does she at least have the the one that's supposed to look kind of sexy? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, the thong diapers.
Yeah, the diapers, but they're like laced.
You know those sexy diapers.
They're not like Rugrats diapers. They're like
like granny panties.
It's like, you know, you're in the nursing home, but you still want to get it on. Those kind of diapers, yeah. No, I think I've seen them.
Yeah, they're all laced up, and they're like, ooh, looking good. Well, they're rocking tits, though. That's a pretty good combo.
I'm just thinking how hard it would be to market a thong diaper. How difficult that would be.
It would have to be ultra absorbent.
The most like NASA grade absorbency in that thin little thing.
We just saw an adult diaper commercial like a week ago. It was on like a Hulu ad or something like that. And it's this like hot grandma who's, you know, talking about her diapers and all that. And it reminds me of, y'all remember Tony Siragusa?
No.
He was an NFL player, played for the Ravens, like big time defensive guy. He passed away a couple of years ago, but, right after he retired, that was his first gig, was like doing, adult, like the male Depends diaper commercials. And it was like, I'm Tony Siragusa, 2-time Super Bowl winner. Now I can't stop pissing my pants.
What are you going to do when you're trying to go into the end zone and you're about to shit yourself?
I used to catch big old wads of balls in the air. Now I need something that'll catch it in my pants.
Are you in the middle of the holiday and your body's telling me you need to call an audible? Well, check out these male Depends.
we're gonna throw M&M on there. Do you capture it or just let it slip?
He's showing off the absorbency. He's got an open diaper on a table. He's just plowing mashed potatoes into it. Look at it. Look at how well it does.
Runny mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
Oh shit, dude. We went to homeless big titty comics to Tony Siragusa cramming mashed potatoes in an adult diaper.
We just made a Tim and Eric sketch. This is basically what we do.
This is what we do here.
Nice. let's stay on track. It's not mashed potatoes. He's slamming haggis into a diaper.
Yeah.
Right. Pod nuts.
Yeah. Oh no, I'll shit my pants.
When I gotta go, I gotta go in my pants.
David McKay.
The famous Scottish astronaut.
He got lost in space.
Lost in space, they say. He said, oh, look at that.
He was just a wee mechanic. He got lost on the ship.
When Nelly scares the shit out of you, you don't always have time to find a toilet.
He's the only man to shit in space.
I heard Dave McKay used to go to Epstein Island. Good job.
Tell me what you think about Sean Connery now.
Love him.
My brother thought he was gay.
He did. He had to apologize publicly.
Yeah, he did. I thought he was gay. Sean Connery? That man could get it.
It's like, no, I have sex with men and I have relationships with women.
Oh, that's a great way to put it now.
I'm a gyno-sexual. I mean, not
yeah, gyno-sexual.
Gyno-sexual.
I don't care if it's got a dick. Look at those hips.
It's got boobies.
Oh,
Look at those tits.
Look at those tits on that man.
The only thing missing is a diaper.
Now I'm hungry.
Well, it all depends.
Sean Connery depends male diapers.
I'd fuck it.
I'd fuck it. Check your local retail stores.
That's a new fucking Depends tagline. I'd fuck it.
I'd fuck it.
I'd fuck it.
If I had the money for AI for a Sean Connery Depends, I'd fuck it.
We got to start casting.
Yeah.
T-shirts.
Absolutely.
That's your T-shirt sales would be through the roof.
Doing the...
The finger guns?
Yeah, the finger guns.
So let me go back to Austin and the saturated comedy.
Right, yeah. Please get us back on track, Bill.
So the big thing that I found out is I'm a lot funnier outside of Austin.
Mm.
It's that most of the places that you go to, it's other comics that are in the audience. It's like going to an open mic where you know, it's 20 other comics staring at their phones and staring at their material while you're trying to perform.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the general everything in Austin a lot of the time for the hot spots. Like I run a show every 2 weeks at a beer bar. It's absolutely phenomenal. It's very, very suburban. It's a bunch of it's kind of a little bit more of your kind of conservative, not like rednecky crowd, but just your blue collar conservative crowd. And so every show that I put on, it's like 60 to 80 people in there, and they're there to laugh and have a good time. So, like, those are always fun. But when you go to the actual, like, smaller comedy clubs in Austin, it's just saturated with other comics who don't laugh at what you have to say. Or you've spent 5 open mics with them over the last 2 weeks, and they've already heard what you have to say.
Yeah.
They hate you if you're funny, too. Like, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of hate. There's not a lot of support or anything. Utah was, I can't say not a lot of support. There's tons of support, but you have to sift through the bullshit first. Salt Lake City was my first out-of-town place to go, and that place was phenomenal with the support, with people just being nice, giving advice, you know, telling you where to go, like the open mics to hit, things like that. And that was my first real experience with a professional group of comedians. Fort Lauderdale was very, very similar with Nick and, you know, some of those other guys that I met. And so they give good advice. They tell you where to go. They tell you what to do. I was told in Salt Lake City, as soon as you come up with a solid hour, we'd love to have you come and headline at Wise Guys, you know, in the Rickles
room. Nice.
You know, so just stuff like that is really, really cool whenever I leave Austin.
Okay.
But, oh, fuck it. Move to Florida, dude.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Your wife will feel more at home.
she actually, her company has an office over there in Fort Lauderdale, so
it's all coming together, dude.
All right, well, we're getting to the point where we got to ask our show question.
Let's get geared up,
William. We ask everyone we have on our show this question, and
I wanted to try a new thing, Mike.
Okay,
all right, I want you to do the final question.
The final question.
Okay.
We're going to work on something.
That's intimidating.
Yeah, I'll just make a thing if you want a thing.
We should have a button for it.
Oh, okay. Actually, we should. Great idea, Jeremy. Look at you, a pioneer.
All I do is win. No matter what.
That was the first in-context way you've used that button since I've installed it. All right. So, Billiam, who is better for your own reasons, Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone?
Oh, shit. That's a good one. I'm going to say Sylvester Stallone.
Hit your button, Jeremy.
Yes.
Who are they to protest me, huh? Who are they? Unless they've been me and been there and know what the hell they're yelling about.
And your reasons.
And mine's more of an anti-Schwarzenegger than pro-Stallone. I think Arnold Schwarzenegger, instead of spending all that time traveling through time trying to terminate Sarah Connor, he should have gone back in time and terminated that pregnancy with his nanny.
Keep going. Hit him. Keep tearing him down, Bill.
Everything he does now is like CGI. He looks like a complete AI Arnold Schwarzenegger. I just don't like him. He's got a dumb computer face, and it makes me sad.
Damn it.
Okay. All right. Well, very, very good. All right. So, Bill, where can people find you? How can they follow your adventures through comedy?
I recently launched a website, thefoulmouthedteacher.com. And then that's my handle on all of my social media as well, Instagram, TikTok, thefoulmouthedteacher. And it's mouthed like with an ED because, you know, I'm a teacher.
Mouthed.
And mouthed. Yeah, foul-mouthed teacher.
Parallel.
Nope.
So, and that's my fuck up on that word, too. I've never had the chance to explain this one. But, first of all, fuck Tony and fuck Kirk. It is a math term.
A parallelogram. I had your back on that, geometry dude. Shape. I was watching that clip last night, and I was like, that is math terms. Fuck them. Yeah.
And so, I've for my entire life, I've put the wrong syllable, the emphasis on the wrong syllable. I know it's parallel because my wife makes fun of me all the time now, but I've always said parallel. Like,
you are stupid. He's parallel.
Yeah, yeah. Pinche güero.
Ay, miracle.
I say it the way you say parallelogram, and so I've always said parallel. And yeah, fuck them.
Fuck them. So I'm a history teacher, not a math teacher. And they started laughing at math. I was like, well, come on, guys.
Well, we are MajizzyPod, MJSYPOD on all the things. Check out our social media, MajizzyPod. Send us an email, UHJYEAH at MajizzyPod.com. Go to our Patreon page and listen to the interviews that we do with the shows we steal, except for this one, because they didn't show up. And that's okay. They're busy doing whatever it is, throwing stones at people. And what else, Jeremy?
Did you also accept diaper and dick pics?
We accept diapers and dick pics. Well, feet pics, historically.
Mike, we have a phone number.
Which you can send those to. It is
903-287-0660.
Send us a voicemail. Actually, we should play one right now.
Steven's outside. It's Christmas Steve.
Oh my God.
What is that?
I definitely heard the Christmas Steven.
That was creepy. That's a voicemail?
That was a voicemail that was left on our voicemail.
All right. We have disconnected our phone number.
Who is this Christmas Steven? It keeps popping up.
I didn't hear any of that.
Yeah.
Oh, you couldn't hear it? It
doesn't go through the board.
Oh, it was creepy. You don't want to hear it.
Yeah, that was
sucked. Was weird.
It was a bunch of heavy breathing and then someone saying, Christmas Steven is who's outside.
Why do we keep getting Christmas Steven
Christmas
stuff?
Steven. I don't know. For Christmas, we found that after we saved Christmas. After we saved Christmas, there was that tape. And then now we're getting voicemails from the guy. Anyway, you know what? Let's move on. Let's move on. Anyway, yes, so we go to our second channel. It's Michael and Jeremy Steal Your Podcast Supreme on Spotify, where we've linked all of our Patreon episodes. You can get all of our episodes all in one spot. It's great. We've made it very convenient. Go to our shop, Majizzy Shop, the Majizzy Pod website, MajizzyPod.com, and get yourself either a sticker or a magnet. I ship it to you personally. It's true. I'll draw a happy face on the envelope or something. I don't know.
Just sign it.
I'll get my dick nice and wet and leave an imprint of it on there.
You just buy a mushroom, keep smacking the lips.
I'll fill it with weed. No, I'm just kidding.
Wait, no, hold on. Cut that.
Cut that. Leave it in.
I'm a drug dealer. Okay. What else, Jeremy? Send us your music to our email, aforementioned email.
We play internationally local music.
Yep, that's right. Local music from everywhere.
From everywhere.
Yes.
Send it to us. We'll play it.
All right, I think that's it.
We're upgrading the studio, Mike.
We're the studio, Mike?
Hey, Mike, we're upgrading the studio.
Oh, yeah, we're attempting to.
Yep, we're going to start adding video. We have a lot of fun, cool, interesting things planned.
A lot of plans to do with video.
You can help us out with that by going to our Patreon, but we also have a donation button
that leads people to the shop or our Patreon.
Oh no, don't do that. Send us money.
I haven't set that up yet.
Set that up.
Well, we have a PayPal. I guess it just
don't want to support
PayPal on there.
You only want to hear us once a week. Send us a fat check.
Hell yeah, you're a billionaire. You got too much money. Send it to me and Bill and Jeremy. Support some good funny
Dreams.
Guys.
My wife doesn't give me money when I go downtown, so I need lunch money, guys.
It sounds like you're prostituting yourself to your wife, and she doesn't give you any money for the wonderful sex you give her.
Whoa, oh, man. Shit, that's what I was forgetting. Maybe that'll get me some more money.
Oh, yeah.
I told you I have an innie.
Wonderful sex. I never thought of that.
Wonderful, beautiful sex making. All right, Jeremy, I think that's it.
All right, buddy, I love you.
I love you. Love you, Bill.
You guys, thank you so much for having me on.
You're welcome.
Peace.
Bye.
Broken inside.
Of the Podnauts podcast, where they talk to interesting people. The very, very, what's the word that the people are? They're enlightening. What is it called when they bring you up? Nope. When they
elevator control.
Yep, that's right. Elevator control people. So, good stuff. Thanks, Bill, for joining us. It's been an awesome time. Now, how do we get back?
Yeah, the balloon flew away. It's gone.
Oh, God,
that balloon was just like a balloon to me.
I mean, we left it. We left it in space.
I do have some of my Texas rodeo skills, and I have a rope. Let me see if I can get Nessie to give us a ride back across the pond.
So Nessie's not real.
Mike, of course it's real.
No.
Bill, you think you can really do that?
Jesus and the Easter Bunny. Well, yeah, I can do that.
He's on a holiday in Liverpool.
Oh,
Bill,
God.
Okay, Bill, what's a Nessie mating call sound like?
I'm Tony Saragusa. Buy my diapers.
Oh my God, look, Jeremy.
It's
look,
working.
It's bubbling out of the water.
She must be a Raven's fan.
Oh God, Nessie looks way grosser in real life. Oh,
kind of terrifying.
Oh, it's like a gelatinous blob. Jesus.
Let me get this rope around. Oh, hang on. Help me wrangle her in. Yeah, there she is.
We got her. Oh, she's so gross.
So we're going to bareback this shit all the way back to Florida. Are we going there first?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, let's drop us off in Florida, and then you can just Uber. Wait, no, you have really bad... You're going to have to lift your way back to Austin.
Yeah. All right, yeah, hop on and just hang on tight.
Oh, so
you can
sticky.
Both grab around my waist.
It's sticky. Okay. Can I be the middle?
I kind of liked it in the middle.
Oh, fine. Okay. Oh, God, this thing smells. Oh, it smells so bad.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, look at the noise it's making.
Oh, she says.
Sorry, that's my stomach. I had haggis while we were there.
Oh, yeah, I remember. That's why. Oh, that's what the smell is. God damn it, Bill. Oh, shit.
Tally-ho, let's get out of here, guys.
All right, let's go.
Hey, guys.
Oh, no.
Hey. I'm in your mind.
Is that Nessie?